have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch yourself.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Seriously, guys, four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big. Really big.
Message erased.
I remember when the neon used to burn so bright. children brought, Ripple is burning, and the girls are getting sick off huffing glue up in the bathroom while your boyfriends pick up chicks. And darling, I'm lost. I heard you whispering that night in Fountain Square. The trash-filled streets made me wish we were headed home. And there was love inside the basement where that woman used
to... All right. Let's try to get the show on the road. This is why I hate when you... Oh, Christ. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You make me so mad. This is why I don't want you to come and dial in 2 minutes before the show.
I dialed in 5 minutes before
the
show.
No, it was not 5 minutes before the show. We got people listening. This is Dave and Giggles. Dave is here. Giggles is here. And Tim Pepper keeps texting me saying that he can hear us. So that's good. At least we got
that
going for us.
That's good. He should call in so I can't hear him.
I know. You won't be able to hear him because you waited too long. Well, this is Dave and Giggles on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're here. We'll be here for the next hour. You can call in if you want to call in. That's 718-928-9732. How come I can't see you?
Oh, I don't know.
You have your video turned off? You make me mad. You make me real mad.
Are you using your phone or your computer?
No, I'm using my phone.
I don't know. I'm looking at you.
What's going on over there? Ugh, now you just make me really mad. Every time you make me really mad.
Every show is the last show.
Every show is the last show.
But hey, let me ask you something. Let's get off on the real topic here, real foot. Did you get invited to Joe Sister's wedding?
I did not get invited to the Marconi extravaganza. I did not.
Why didn't you get invited to that?
I maybe you should ask them. I don't know. I mean... I guess she doesn't think of me as family, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? They all look good. You know, that's our number one fan.
Yeah.
He's heading back to L.A. tomorrow, so I won't get to see him before he goes. Yeah, he's done.
Did he stay with – did you see him at all or no?
No, no.
You didn't see him at all?
I saw him when we went up to Maine for the wedding, and then when we got back, I did not see him again.
It's probably because he owes you money. It's probably because he owes you a lot of money.
Yeah, probably. What are you going to do? Right. You know, I mean, you can only do so much. Oh, man, I'm so pissed that this computer didn't work again.
Ugh. It didn't work the first time.
It worked the first time. Fine. It worked actually really well until it shit the bed on us and then halfway through the show. But what are you going to do? I had all my information on my phone. Now I got to use it for you. And I only got like 30-something percent left, and it's going to die on me, and we're going to be screwed.
You're going to end up talking to yourself for the last 30 minutes.
I know. So
you got to give me a countdown.
I will.
When it dies.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good. I was just going to play freaking music for the rest of it. All right. So here we are. What is going on? What is happening? And what did you do all week?
Well, so this weekend I went to I had a men's trip. I went to
what does that mean?
Well, so I second shot a wedding in Beaver Creek, Colorado.
Okay.
This weekend for another company.
Okay.
And so me and this other guy, we left Friday night. We went to, what do you call it? Met up with the other guys in Vail because they were doing another wedding. So it was all for this one guy's company.
Okay.
So we met up in Vail. And then, what do you call it? We're leaving. You know, we had a couple drinks. And we're leaving Vail to head back, you know, like 20 minutes west of there to, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Go back to our hotel. And we're getting out of town, and we get pulled over. And we're like, oh, geez, you know? So the guy was like, so you guys were going 35 and a 25. And the driver was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, yeah. You know, license registration. So he gives them all the stuff. Long story short, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you guys a warning. Get home safe, you know?
Oof.
So, whew, yeah.
So you avoided that one.
Avoided that one. Oof. That would have been bad. That would have been bad. I mean, nobody was over the limit or anything like that. But like, if you've had a beer, you know, like,
yeah, you freak out.
You freak out. You're like, he was funny. He was like, why are there, you know, because all of a sudden we passed the cop. I saw him on the right, and I was like, cop, bro. And he's like, why are there lights behind me? And I was like, because you're getting pulled over, bro. And I had stopped for pizza. Funny thing was, we had stopped for a couple slices of pizza as we're getting out of there. And when I get pulled over, I put like napkins over the pizza to somehow like hide the fact that I was eating pizza. You know, you're like, oh, this guy's eating pizza. He's been drinking, you know? So, yeah.
Good story. That was a good story. Good story. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. But, I mean, how was he? Like, did he freak out? Did he panic? Did he, like,
No. He played it cool, you know, respectful. I mean, that's the thing. We were talking. I mean, we were also two white dudes. So
sure.
In a mountain town. So, I think things are a little different for other people, but like it's we just was respectful and got out of there and it was fine, you know.
But I feel like those mountain towns are the ones where they really, really will bust your ass.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think, you know, nobody was over the limit or whatever. But like, from what I've heard from cops, they say that if you get a DUI, it's so much paperwork that they're just like, just get out of here.
We know someone who had got a DUI. I wasn't invited to the wedding.
To his wedding or to his sister's wedding?
To sister's
wedding. Jeez. You're calling the guy out. God.
Ah, Jesus. I don't know if he's listening. Maybe he'll call 718-928-9732. I'm just busting his ass because he didn't come and visit me in the city the whole time he was here for a month. But what are you going to do? It's cool. I like the guy. Go ahead.
While we're on the subject of weddings, we had a beautiful wedding on Saturday. It was mountain, you know, it was gorgeous. You know, there was a lot of other brides in the area, which is weird.
Uh-huh.
Because you're taking photos and video of the bride, and then all of a sudden another bride comes, you know? And so we went up to the top of Beaver Creek Mountain, and we're doing this beautiful footage and photos and stuff. And all of a sudden this wedding planner comes down on her golf cart, and she's like, "You guys can't be here. You've got to pay to take photos up here, blah, blah, blah." And we're like, "Oh, sorry, you know, it's cool, you know." And so we get out of there. And then the other bride comes in because they were getting married on the mountain as well.
Uh-huh.
And she had the bitchiest face ever. It was like, she was like, "What is this other bride doing on this mountain? I paid this money, and here's this bitch up on the mountain taking photos, you know, on my mountain."
Jeez.
You know?
Yeah. So people get real defensive about that stuff.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, because I see it a lot.
All right.
Do you think there should be sort of a – because let's talk about the wedding. The other wedding we're talking about, Joe's sister's wedding. I saw – it was almost like an amateur photographer, iPhone photographer, posted a whole album, you know, of the beginning, the ceremony, you know, the walking down the aisle, the reception. Okay. And I was like, is that person's job to do that, or should – you know, like – I feel like everybody's like posting pics of the bride and, "Hey, we're having such a good time." And it's like, well, shouldn't like the bride say, "All right, you guys can post," you know, maybe she was, like, "Oh yeah, you guys can post pictures of the wedding and stuff like that."
Well, it seemed like it was a lot of friends that posted the wedding stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was any professional stuff,
but we don't know, 'cause we weren't there. We were not invited.
Right. So. We were not invited. So what are you going to do? Yeah,
just look at the pictures.
She
did look good.
Yeah,
they look
real
good.
Greg looked great. They all look great. Joe looked great. Yeah. Everybody looked great. All right. Weekend, I got a question for you. This weekend, I didn't have anything to do, so I was like, let me watch a movie. And then I tried to watch a movie on my cable, which sucks, and nothing worked. So that was out. Then I tried to use my Netflix, and my Apple TV remote doesn't work. That was out. So I was like left with like nothing. And I had to go through all my DVDs. And I was like,
"Oh jeez.
Like, who has a DVD collection anymore?" I mean, it's nobody. So I was like scrounging through my DVDs, and I was like looking and looking and looking, and I came across The Road. Right?
The Road.
The Road, which
with Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched The Road, and by the end of it, I don't think I've ever been more sad in my life. It was like that movie is so tough.
Yeah.
What are other movies that are just so brutal that they just leave you like, what's your like saddest, most just devastating movie that you've ever watched?
It's tough, 'cause I haven't watched I feel like if I know a movie's sad, I don't want to like, I don't want to make myself sad. You know, I don't like horror movies, and I don't like sad, like,
that happens to a
movies.
Lot of people. I know a lot of people like that. They just won't watch something that'll make them feel a certain way. What do you think it is about you that you just don't want to feel those feelings?
I think it's also like having kids. Like, ever since I had kids, like, I really don't Oh, jeez.
I know. Let's see what this what happens here. Hello. Who's on? Who's this?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, boo.
Hey, boo. What's happening?
So I'm a little confused. I can actually hear the radio on my iPad, but I guess there's like a lag. What's up?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a lag, but that's cool. It's cool. There's a little bit of a lag that, you know, it's pretty much what it's doing is it's taking this show and then shooting it to a satellite and then shooting it down to your computer. I mean, if you expect it to be...
That takes time.
That takes a little bit of time.
That takes time.
It's going to take a little bit of time. So yeah. On the phone with us, I mean, you want to introduce yourself?
I'll let you do it. That's fine. You can do that.
Well, what do you want to be introduced as?
Artemis
Space Ranger. Our dear friend Artemis Space Ranger, who's on like the early years of our show.
And, very early.
Did a bang-up job back then and is going to do a bang-up job today, I think.
Well, you know, I don't want to... Let's not... You know. We're just going to...
So how's L.A. Yeah. life? Now that the wedding is over and everything is situated and you're back to normal, back to the roots, what's going on?
It's good. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
You know, L.A. is nice. It's always sunny.
Okay, it's always sunny in L.A. So,
yeah. Well, there's a show that says it's always sunny in Philadelphia, too. But
we know that's not true.
That's a show.
That's a show.
And that's a show.
That's a show.
It's fictional.
Right. It's a show that I feel like we probably should have came up with.
I feel like it was too close.
It was too close to home. There's another another show on HBO that's coming out that I am so pissed that we didn't come up with it because it's right up our alley. It's called High Maintenance.
And it's
started out as a web series, then got picked up by HBO. Yeah. Basically, the idea is a guy is a drug dealer. And he goes
are you going to explain it?
I'm going to explain it to people.
For
everyone? For everybody.
I wasn't sure if you were explaining it to me or everyone. I know.
There's other people, you know. There's other people.
Yeah, I know. Okay. No, go ahead.
So there's a guy, he's a weed guy, and he delivers weed to clients. And basically the show is everyone he goes to. And like, obviously, I feel like he got that from that movie... Oh, man, what's that drug movie where Willie Nelson was in it?
Pineapple Express?
No, not that one. It doesn't matter. But he just goes from house to house to house. Yeah. And obviously, any weed connoisseur is going to be a little bit weird, going to have a little off. And I feel like that...
Why do you say... Oh, you mean the connoisseur himself is going to be a little...
Right. I mean, yeah, like the guy buying it, it's going to be a little sketchy. It's going to be a little this, a little that.
Do you think it's going to make weed dealers at large a little uncomfortable, or are they going to be like, shit, am I allowed to curse on the thing?
Yeah, you can curse all you fucking want, you know, like, have it out.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Do you
feel like they're going to be a little threatened?
I don't think they'll be threatened. I think they're going to be like, I think it's going to make them, it depends on how the show goes. I haven't watched it yet, but I think.
You know what? I see this being a little bit of a thing, like a minority is going to finally get a voice.
A minority will get a voice. Sure, we've all known a drug delivery.
We all have a drug dealer.
We all have a
drug dealer.
But I think it's going to make them a little bit more like approachable. Like I think the
show. I think a lot of people are going to start to say, "I get it.
I get you.
Yeah,
I get you.
I understand why we speak a different language.
Right.
Why I'm always, you know, yeah.
Exactly. But bottom line is, I feel like we should have started that show. We could have done great things with that.
We could have.
But what are you going to do? All right. So another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and if I think Giggles is there and listening, and if he wants to chime in with a question,
Giggles.
I don't think he can hear you. There's a whole.
I'm here.
He's here.
I hear him.
There he is.
I can hear him.
He hears you. All right. So if you, Giggles, you want to ask a question, you totally can. But my thing that I wanted to talk about is that Artemis Space Ranger, if you want, was in a pilot with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
JCVJ.
JCVJ.
JCVD.
JCVD, yeah. But JC. Yeah. What's it called? It's called Jean-Claude Van Johnson?
It's Van Johnson. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme playing Jean-Claude Van Johnson playing Jean-Claude Van Damme.
But here's my issue with it. It is very meta. JCVD was kind of the same idea, but in a movie.
We could just say JC.
JC.
We're on a two-letter acronym basis now.
Sure.
So.
But, yeah. I mean, like, you've seen JCVD, right?
Yeah, of course I've seen JCVD. So, come on.
I mean, we've all have. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it. And then also, yours is JCVJ, Jean-Claude Van Johnson, is playing on Amazon, right? As a Netflix or an Amazon original.
Yeah, Amazon original.
I watched it. Yeah. And I voted 5 stars for it because I want that show to get picked up.
Thank you.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with me. I appreciate that.
Well, it has 90% to do with you. 90% to do with you. 10% to do with Jean-Claude because, come on, it's Jean-Claude. But tell us, like, your favorite story that you can tell from being on set with Jean-Claude.
Okay. He's a sweet guy.
Is he?
Jean-Claude Van Damme is an incredibly sweet human being. So there's this fantastic moment. We do a lot of ad-libbing on set. I had a line where I'm literally making fun of his movies in the show.
In the show.
Because you play
a director. Who's directing him?
I play the director, right. in his latest film, yeah.
Right.
And he's trying to pull something, and I'm like, listen, man, I have TBS, I've watched all of your movies, Bloodsport, all that stuff, and I was just sort of riffing, and instead of Bloodsport or Time Cop, I said Cyborg.
Ooh,
which
good
I think it's a pretty unknown movie of his. I think a lot. It's been underrated.
Sure, definitely underrated.
I've seen that movie like 100 times. When he gets strapped to the cross,
it's huge,
and he's literally the Messiah come mm-hmm, back, and mm-hmm. then he kicks down the cross with his own feet. I mean,
that's gold. That's gold. Right?
So anyway, so I pull that one out in the middle of the scene, and then a couple scenes later, we're just kind of standing around. Waiting for the cameras to roll, and he points to a well, and he just like points to the well and starts miming like he's pulling something out of the well from like 40 feet away, and I'm like, what are you talking? Cyborg, and I'm like,
so he thinks everybody knows every little intricacy of every little movie he's ever been in.
And it took me a good. I didn't know at the time. I just kind of laughed. I was like, I mean, literally, when he did it too, it's like all his muscles were
popping out,
kind of crazy.
Yeah,
popping. Just
he still looks great. He still looks great.
He looks fantastic.
He does. He looks fantastic. And you steal the scene every time you're on. Well, maybe because I know you, but
it's the Twizzler. It's the Twizzler.
It's the Twizzler every time. You just casually eat that Twizzler in mid sentence. It's genius. It's wonderful. Did you come up with that, or was that the director?
There was a much longer scene that was in the original script that we did shoot. That I've been told if we go forward, the scene will be reshot.
Nice.
Which is awesome. But anyway, it's at the Crafties table, and my God, actors love props.
Sure.
So I was literally shoving my hand in food like an obnoxious human being.
Sure.
Like sticking my finger into a cupcake and then throwing it away. They even had to raise the Crafties table up a little bit higher to cheat it into the camera frame
because
they wanted to see all the business that was happening.
Sure.
And there was like Twizzlers that weren't really in the frame. I was like, I feel like I need something I can take away from the Crafties table, something truly obnoxious. And literally the props guy was like, how about Twizzlers? I was like, you're a genius.
Genius.
So I played with the Twizzler for a couple takes, and then the director, I'm not joking, I think I tweeted this recently. The director, word for word, said, more Twizzler.
More Twizzler.
He said, "You can, I was like, more, you want me to, more with the Twizzler?" He's like, you cannot do, you cannot do too much.
You can't do too much.
Twizzler.
Right. So, that makes sense.
And so there it is.
The Twizzler made it in. I want to see more of the Twizzler. I feel like this Twizzler stole the whole show. Boom.
Yeah,
done.
I don't even know what happened.
Let's call it Jean-Claude Van Twizzler.
Van Twizzler. Yeah.
That would be pretty good. All right. So here's my other question. So here you are. It's really meta. There's a director directing you while you're directing another movie within a movie, right?
Well, here's the thing. I actually directed the pilot.
But you directed?
I'm joking. I didn't do that.
I was going to say that's not true.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be so amazing.
I played the director. I was the director directing the director. I was playing the director of. I mean, wow.
That's so meta. It's so inside.
I did not. You know what's funny is I kind of feel like I was given some freedom, some creative freedom, some license there, because it was kind of like, you're a director, I'm a director, we're directing, you know?
Sure.
The usual hierarchy didn't exist with me, you know?
Yeah, totally. Did you direct, like, when you were directing the movie, did you, like, go, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be at this point, then I want you to do this action and move to that point, and then the
Absolutely.
Director would look at you and be like, yeah, that's my boy, or is he like, wait a minute. No, that's not what I'm telling you to do.
There was a moment where I jumped my cue. It was basically, you know, you do a scene and the director is like, gives people different actions. He's like, all right, you're going to go on the first action, you're going to go on the second, you're going to third, and you know. And I was on the first or the second action, and it's kind of confusing because he says action, and I say cut.
Mm.
And so when he said action, I immediately said cut, and people stopped. And I was I'm sorry.
That's very confusing. That's very confusing.
Totally confusing. Very confusing.
That is very confusing. So that's awesome. I'm really proud of you. I've watched the thing.
Thanks.
One of my favorite scenes in it, besides the Twizzler, there's a scene where you are in the background and you are still on point. You are still going through the motions and you're like telling people what to do and you're gesturing all over the place and you're really into it. But it's not even your scene. You're just in the background playing background
character. Oh, yeah, with JC.
With JC.
I think there's another one where I'm talking to the guy playing N-word Jim.
N-word Jim. Right, because it's a Tom Sawyer movie, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be epic. I actually, I had lunch with the writer the other day and he gave me this rap gift. It's a poster of the movie that Gunnar directed.
Oh, that's dope.
And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
So now can you say that you're a director?
I mean, in so much that I could say that I am, I don't know.
On-set director.
Know, all the other roles I've played.
Sure.
I can't say that I'm a director.
Right. You're a director. You're a carpooler.
I'm a carpooler.
You're a lot of different things.
I wear a lot of different hats.
All right, that's pretty dope. I'm very, very proud of you. I think everyone
Thanks.
Should go to Amazon and they should
Definitely
watch Jean-Claude Van Johnson and then
Give
rate
it
5 stars as much as you can. So here's the question that I told you that I wanted to start. So I'll start it now, and then I'll have you answer it, and then we'll say goodbye. And then
I just got nervous.
I know. We'll pick
so
it up.
Nervous.
We'll pick it up with giggles. So here's my question to everyone in the world who's listening. What don't you do that you should do?
How much silence and do we give?
As much as you want. This is a silent show.
Okay. Who am I answering first?
Yes.
Oh.
You got to go. You got to do it.
Okay.
He's panicking. You're an actor.
Oh, God.
Play it up.
Oh, God.
He's panicking.
I. You know, I'll be honest. Can I say what I should not do? Like, what do I do?
All right, you're panicking too much. You're panicking too much. I'll start it like this. I'll start it like this.
Go.
Okay, so I got a text message about an hour ago from a dear friend who lives in L.A., who you see from time to time, who has been on this show, and we call him Scrap. There it is, right? And he said, how often do you buy new pillows? It's a tricky question, right? I mean, and I said to him, the last two pillows I bought, the two I'm using now, I bought in the spring. So they're a few months old, and I typically buy a new set of pillows once a year. That's pretty average.
My God, that's actually. It's not like I have the same pillow from like childhood,
right.
But I don't. That seems kind of frequent.
It's frequent, but I mean, like, you know,
But like when you pull the cover off, is it just like yellow or something? Like, what's happening?
No, I mean, they're not yellow, but they're like they're starting to like getting a little more flat. I like a good puffy pillow.
You know?
So that's my reasoning.
I like a well loved pillow.
A well loved pillow, sure. So, yeah. But that started the question of, you know, what should you do that you don't do?
That's a bit of a leap. I don't feel like you should be shooting on people about their pillows.
Well, that was his thing because I'm assuming he didn't give me an answer, but I'm assuming he hasn't bought a pillow in a very long time.
Very long time.
That's my guess.
This sounds like the end of a much longer discussion elsewhere with him.
Yes.
But yeah, somebody else was involved in the conversation. Yes. Okay. Well, again, that's a difficult question, but I probably should stop playing as much video games.
Mm. Mm. You're a big video game fan.
I love video games, but I should be writing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is my big life question. The small stuff. I don't. You know. I should do my dry cleaning more. Mm. I should. I don't. I'll be honest, man. I do a lot of the things that I feel like I should do.
Right. I feel like the older you get, either you fall out and you don't care about it anymore, or
you just do them.
Or you just do them. Right. I mean, I should do laundry more often than I do, but I don't.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you do your own laundry?
No. I bring it down
to
people.
No, you drop it off.
I drop it off.
Do you feel like you should do your own laundry?
Not at all.
Feel like it's okay to have some rando person down the block being paid some disgustingly minimum wage to wash your clothes
for
you,
turn
me towards the sun.
Turn me towards the sun, exactly. It's the little luxuries that I have in life, and that is one of them. And the people who own the laundromat are the people who run the laundromat, are the people who are in the laundromat. So, like, I'm giving them a little more money. And it's not like they're paying somebody else to do it. They're getting that money. So I feel good about that. But I also don't want to do laundry. I find doing laundry one of the worst things a man can do.
Wow. Dishes. General, like man and or woman?
Man
Are
and
we
or,
talking?
Sure, man and or woman. Well, maybe just man. Okay. Maybe just man.
Wow.
But I mean, I'm not going to – this is the Careful. Thing. I'm not going to speak for women because I know some women who actually like – I know some men who like doing laundry. They find it very calming.
It's like washing the dishes sometimes.
Oh, that's my second most hated
thing.
That's
your second thing that you probably should do more of.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So I like you,
Artemis
Space Ranger.
Well, I'm glad we figured out your stuff, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? So I want to say on air, congratulations for getting married.
Thanks.
To you and Allie.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
We would like to. Is Giggles talking? I can't hear him.
No, I think you got your radio too loud.
Oh.
No, I turned it. I turned it down.
Oh, okay.
That was me. I was switching.
Giggles, do you have a question for Artemis Space Ranger here?
No, it's just good to hear his voice. I haven't heard his voice in a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's
YouTube.
I can't
YouTube,
hear what he says, you know, back to me.
That's okay.
But
that's okay.
But yeah, it's good. It's nice taking a little break because then I get to just listen.
Sure, you know? That's what you
it's
always
nice
want
to
do.
Listen.
You just want to listen. Yeah.
Just want to sit back and listen.
I'll answer the question. You know, something that I should do that I don't do enough of is, and I think this goes for everybody, is flossing. You know, I don't like to floss, and who does? You know.
All right.
He hit a good one there. That's a good one.
Do you floss, Artemis?
I do.
How often
do
you floss?
Not, you know, like crazy amounts right before I go to the dentist.
Oh, like, so you're like a last minute type of guy. Like, oh my God.
I got to do this because otherwise I'm going to get, you know.
I'll tell you this. Within the past like 6 months, I have been flossing every day, every morning.
No, you have not.
I have.
You're lying.
I have. I swear. I bought the little the toothpick things that have the floss in them, and every morning I use that and I floss.
You should do it at night.
Yeah, I know I should do it at night, but it's a morning ritual that I started that I feel good about because I actually floss. Maybe I should do it at night, but I don't want to. So there it is.
Well, you've said your piece, Dave.
I've said my piece.
And in the saying of pieces, I do want to say that you gave a wonderful speech at our wedding.
Thank you, buddy.
It was touching.
I appreciate it.
There was a lot of movement physically.
I even turned around a bunch.
You did. You had it a little. There was a slow twirl.
Mm-hmm. The slow twirl. Can you describe? Yeah, I wanted you to describe
awkwardly.
The scene.
Awkwardly.
I want you to describe that scene of when I dropped the mic, because that's your favorite moment.
I'll be honest, because there was a lot. There was kind of a lot going on. Like Allie and I were obviously honed in on you. We're just loving the fact that you were up there. I think who had just gone before to talk? Was that Cole? I think it might have been Cole or no, it was a girl. Maybe
it was
Christy?
A girl. Yeah, I think it was her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Christy gave a great speech, which, by the way, she winged, which was crazy.
That's
like,
great.
Hey, can I get a copy of this speech? She emailed me like, well, I said this and that. I just winged. I was like, cool, thanks. Anyway, so she leaves.
I also want to say,
oh, so sweet.
I also want to say that most of mine, I just wung.
Wung is a word.
Wung is a word. All right, so go ahead. Go ahead.
So there's a little bit of, commotion. Oh, the hugging and no, yes, I love you. And in that moment, Dave, when it comes down to it, the timing was just off. And if you had waited maybe a couple more moments when everyone was looking at you, it might have gone through. But as it was, it looked like, everyone kind of turned around and saw you drop the mic by accident.
Sure.
And then pick it up and say, awkward.
That was awkward. I said that was
it
awkward.
It was awkward. Right. And actually, you what was funny was I got to see from the very beginning when you said, this is going to be awkward.
I did say that. I'm glad you
and
saw
then,
it.
What was great was it was like, this is going to be awkward. And like we lost the awkward because you were pulling the mic away already, dropping it.
Sure, dropped it.
Dropped it, immediately picked it up again.
Bent over, picked it up, and then said, that was awkward.
That was awkward. And I was there for the whole thing, but I feel like everyone else was like, yeah, that was
that
awkward.
That was really awkward. We don't know what you're doing. We have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happened was when she finished her speech, I think someone yelled out, drop the mic, right?
Yeah. Drop the mic.
And then she handed me the mic back really apprehensively, went over to you guys, hugged you both. All the attention was on you guys. And then I said, this is going to be awkward.
This is going to be awkward.
I dropped the mic. Then I picked up.
A lot of mixed messages. People didn't really know what you're talking about. No. It just you didn't pick your time very well.
I didn't.
The timing was off. But you had some zingers.
I did have some good zingers. I did. I was proud of them. I thought I did pretty well. I love you guys.
Fantastically.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're really really happy to have those memories.
Good.
We're really happy.
I'm happy to be there. Happy to be part of it. But I'm gonna let you go. If you want to go listen to the rest of it, I'm happy to have you.
So I have to go?
No,
have
you don't
to go
have
now.
To go. I mean, you could stay.
No, but I feel like I'm holding you guys back from something.
Well, there's only one problem is that Mike can't hear you. So basically, this is a two-way conversation.
So he has no idea.
No. You could say whatever you want.
What I'm saying right now.
Whatever you want.
Well, what I want you to do right now, Dave, is kind of give him a look of like, ooh, shit, he just said that.
Shit.
But what I'm going to say is, Mike, I'm really happy for you and your family.
Ugh.
Yeah, and I think I'm really, really happy for you, buddy.
Ooh.
And I miss you.
Oh God, that hurts.
I know. I know.
Mike, that's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna.
What do you say?
You're gonna have to listen to the replay.
I'm gonna let you go.
All right, buddy. I like you. Give a buzz
like
soon.
You.
Call back next week. We'll talk again.
You got it. Looking forward to it.
All right. I'll see you later.
Hey, Dave. That's it. I found my thing.
Okay.
The thing I should do that I don't do enough of.
Yeah.
Is call in.
Oh, that's so nice. It's really heartwarming.
All right, I'm gonna leave it with that. Arnold
All right,
Space
Bill.
Ranger out.
All right. Later.
Later.
All right. So there he is.
I think I know what he said.
What did he say?
Did he say he was sorry for that time that we went out and he was like, I can't believe you're going to have a kid. You.
I'm going to say that he probably doesn't even remember saying that. I think he said we were on the roof, I think, and he was like, you're going to have a kid? That's so fucked up, and was like really harsh about it. And then within like a couple hours, he felt really bad about it because we gave him a hard time. He felt really bad about it.
Totally. No, we were at that bar with Curtis.
Oh, right.
Remember in Williamsburg?
Yeah.
Or something. And I think it was with Emily or something. He's like, you're going to have a kid? And I was like,
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. I will say you'll have to listen to what he said because I'm not going to give it away. So you're going to have to go listen to the show again.
So I can hear what our guest was saying.
It was, yeah.
You got to fix that audio, bro.
I know.
God, that makes me so mad.
Yeah, said it was on the roof. He said, not true, totally remember, totally feel like shit. It was on the roof. Okay, so there you go. So there it is. All right, so what were we talking about? We're talking about things you should do that you don't do.
Taxes.
When's the last time you did your taxes?
No, I do my taxes. I get my taxes done every time, but I'm one of those people that like gets stuff done like right before the deadline. Like if I know taxes are due in April, like I start working on them in March. You know, I don't I'm not one of these people that like, you know, got the science fair project done before the weeks before the deadline. You know, I was always there like, oh God, we were laughing at a science fair project I did in eighth grade.
Like,
of course the teacher like gave me a D cause she was just like, are you a joke?
Yeah.
So I did a science fair project that was basically like, do magnets change their do magnets lose their magnetism when dipped underwater?
That's a terrible science project.
Well, look, I told you this. I prefaced this by saying it was a terrible project.
So basically you found that it didn't lose its magnetism and then that was the end of the project?
And thesis, what do you call it? Proved, you know, I was like, okay. Wet magnets still work.
Oh man, that's terrible. Man, your teacher must have really hated you.
She was just like, I think eighth grade, now that I'm looking about it, was like that time I like started falling asleep at school, you know.
It started the morning started to get to you because at that age you're going through puberty and you're like, I am tired all the time and I'm hungry all the time and I'm thinking about girls all the time. So it's like that's when it catches up to you, I think.
Yeah, eighth grade was like constant boner all the time, just being tired and like erect the whole time.
Oh, God. Where was your most awkward one? Can you remember?
I don't remember an awkward boner. So I got an awkward boner story. High school dances. I had a couple good like girlfriends, you know, friends who were girls.
Sure.
That, you know, like I never. You know, I was always trying to like maybe get with them or date with them, but they were just like, no, you're a friend. That's it. You know,
you friend zoned before friend zoned happened.
Yeah, totally. So I remember like the high school dances where they pitted me enough to slow dance with me.
Mm.
And, I would always be like, oh man, I got a boner. You know, like this is, you know, this is real. You know, I'm holding a girl's hips. You know, you can feel first time I'm holding a girl's hips in like ninth and 10th grade, you know? And, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And then later on, I was like, oh, man, you know, something like that. Like, you know, you guys can't feel my boner or whatever. And they're like, oh, we totally
did. I think we did that show where we talked about that with Plan B McGee. And she was like, no, we always felt your guys' boner. We always knew it was there. As much as we tried to hide it always, it was obvious. Obvious for everyone.
Yeah.
I always got go ahead.
I was going to say, this is probably not another awkward story, but senior year of high school, I went with a good friend of mine. We went to prom and we went to dinner out, beforehand. And I, you know, of course, paid for her dinner. She's a really good friend of mine. And she didn't finish her dinner. And we went to a seafood place. And I was like, you've got to take this to go. I was like, you ate like three bites of your seafood dinner. You can take this to go. So stinks up the car. Anyways, you know. We're all dancing with other people or whatever. And then this one girl who I think was a sophomore or something, but like actually it was the first time I think in my life where like a girl knew that I had a boner and was like okay with it and was like, yeah, let's dance, let's grind, you know.
So she wanted to feel it. She was all about
it. She wanted to feel it. Oof. Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is okay.
Those are the kind of girls we wanted to be around when we were that age. You know?
Yeah, and it took me till senior year of high school to finally, like, you know, feel accepted. So sorry, what was your story? What was your
I don't really have a story, but my most common time to get one was in the morning on the bus on the way to school, because those buses bounced. They bounced a lot. They had a rhythm to their bounce, and every goddamn morning it was just there. And I'd try to like put my book bag over it, or I'd do something just to be like, ah, you know, like you're hanging out. Nobody wants to talk in the morning, but everyone's looking at each other. And you know, that always happened. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna pretend I'm sleeping, I guess, or what am I gonna do? But I don't remember any other, like, I don't remember any other ones where it was like embarrassingly embarrassing. But what are you going to do?
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dave and Giggles Radio Hour on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're talking about awkward boners. So if you want to call in with an awkward boner story, 718-928-9732. Is it 928 or 938? 928.
928. Say it again.
718-928-9732, and the topic is awkward boners.
Awkward boners, and also – okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes when I take a long flight and we started our descent, I don't know if it's the pressure.
Oh, I hate the descent.
Or something, or if I've just been sitting too long, but I'll usually get an awkward boner, like coming down from a plane flight.
I'm always in pain. So. My ears are always in pain on descent. I can't think about a boner on the way down. It's just too tough. I'm always in pain, but that's me. Yeah. A lot of people don't have that. But one other thing that we have to talk about. So we're on Radio Free Brooklyn. Let me just say this. Radio Free Brooklyn, Dave and Giggles, where there's also a Radio Free Brooklyn fundraiser party coming up. I wish you were here because we could totally go to this and have a – it would be awesome. It's September 10th.
Tell me when it is.
September 10th. It's
go to that.
It's in East Williamsburg or something along – Bushwick. I think it's in Bushwick. It's at Unit J Loft. 338 Moffitt Street. There's going to be a bunch of bands there. Dead Leaf Echo, Falling Birds, Drew Cutler and the Heart and Hand Band, and Amos Rose. They asked me to make the flyer for it, so I made the flyer. So I felt pretty good about that.
Nice.
Yeah, so
nice.
I wish you were here for that.
I hope you did a better job making the flyer than you did blasting our show tonight with your little thing. You're like, give us a topic. We don't care.
We don't care.
To get listeners with like a post like that.
Well, I blasted.
Like, come listen to David.
The
Giggles.
Thing is that I blasted on our Facebook.
You don't know what we're talking about.
I blasted on our Facebook. I blasted on my Facebook. I blasted on my Instagram, and I blasted on Twitter. And every one of those places, I say something different just to keep it interesting. Because I don't want people to see the same thing. So by the time I got to that one, I was out of ideas, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna say this." But what are you gonna do? I just want people to tune in and call in, really. So if you got a topic you want to talk about, let's do it. I don't care. But So when do you change your pillows? How often do you buy pillows?
Well, that's a good question. I was thinking about that and listening and not responding because you know there was the delay there. But
he did good though.
Thank you. I buy the memory foam pillows.
Not you.
So I probably had those for at least a year or two. We have them probably from New York, so maybe 3 to 4 years.
Mm. But do you think it's time for a new one?
Those are expensive, but we wash the cases. So
I mean, but the pillows themselves. Well, my thing is, I get the pillow of the memory foam, but how long does that last for?
I don't know.
You should look into that. I mean, I buy $15 pillows, the ones that are not that expensive, but they're I like a good fluffy pillow. So that's why I buy them like a
firm.
Yeah, see, I like a good fluffy pillow, one that I could really sink into, you know?
One that you could sink your awkward pillow
into. Exactly. Exactly. You get it. Put one between your legs and go with it. Exactly.
What do you do that you shouldn't?
718-928-9732. One thing that I had it. What was it? One thing that I don't do that I should do is is backup files. It's one thing that scares the shit out of me, and I've actually lost a drive that had like early 2000, 2000 to 2004 pictures on it, so I lost those forever.
Mm.
It's one thing that scares hell out of me. I don't want drives to get lost, but I don't do the don't back them up to other drives, and just in case. I should
do that all the time, and I put them in other places.
Yeah,
I keep drives at the in-laws place just in case, you know, shit happens, and
that's one thing I don't do.
Well,
it's
and then I take a drive with me all the time, like with my work on it, because you know, like I keep it in two places, and I'm like, all right, well, at least I have it with me all the time,
because
if you know shit gets lost or you know footage gets lost, I don't get paid or I get sued. You
right.
know?
So, I have a good story. It's kind of a good story. It's not my story, but it was for a company that I worked for that shall remain nameless because that's my job. But there was this kid who was an assistant editor, and they asked him to like edit a little piece and then that they would put into the show, like give him a little bit of love, you know?
Yeah, a little responsibility.
A little responsibility.
Bad mistake.
And,
bad mistake.
There, allegedly, he said, can I take this home and work on it at home? And allegedly someone said yes, but when it turned out afterwards, everyone said, no, I would never tell you could do that. So allegedly they told him that he could. He said he could, blah, 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 whatever. So on his way home, he's walking home at night, and he gets mugged, and they steal the drive with the only footage for the show on that drive.
Oh, shit.
So immediately he comes in. I got mugged. They stole the drive. Fired. Immediately fired.
Yeah.
Why
done.
Do you have that drive out of this office? There's no reason you should have it out. But, I mean, it's his fault for taking it out, but it's such bad luck to get mugged. You know?
Yeah.
That's so tough.
Ah, God. I think about that often because I'm like, you know, a lot of photographers lately have been mugged and camera stores have been mugged, you know, robbed and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I always it's weird because I'm like, would I put up a fight if somebody was like, yeah, let me see that camera, you know? And I'd be like, no, man, it's not worth my life. I can get a new one. It's only a few thousand. I think maybe I would try to like be if I only had, but I always take if I do a wedding or something, I always back up the cards to another drive and then keep the cards on me so they're in two different places. And like even if I'm on a plane, I put like the cards in a, you know, hard case in a plastic bag in my pocket so that if like the plane goes down and we have to evacuate,
at least you got them in your
pocket.
It's
in my pocket.
Smart.
At least it's in
Smart.
My pocket. Yeah.
That is really good. Here's another one go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, if the plane crashes and we all die, then, you know.
What are you going to
really
do? There's really, I mean, if by chance you survive, the last thing you're going to be thinking about is, at least I got those cards in my pocket.
I got those bar mitzvah picks saved.
Woo!
Really good.
Jeez. Another one is thinking about the future and, like, getting a 401k or something like that. Like, I do have one, but I don't contribute anything really. Is there's just money in there that like accumulates a little bit, but it doesn't really do much.
Yeah. I actually started one 2 years ago. I won't say how much is in it because it's not laughable, it's something, but like it's something. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like it's there. I put a certain amount every year.
Yeah.
And
I feel
you know,
like we're the generation that's really screwed. Like, because
oh, God.
We're going to run out of Social Security. They're not going to be able to pay us Social Security because they're going to think that our generation was a generation that did 401k. And like probably 90% of our generation probably hasn't, you know, like we don't really have, I know very few people who do have 401ks, and those who do have very small 401ks.
Yeah.
Change.
Yeah. My wife has one.
Dylan said, change the battery in the smoke detector. So you know he just hears beep. Beep, beep.
This is what you should do that you shouldn't, or what you should do that you don't do. Yeah.
Ugh. But the 401k, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, when I get older, yeah. I just don't think I'm going to make it to the point where I'm going to be screwed. So maybe
you
there's that.
You got to get your grandma to give you her money, bro. Like,
I know.
You went to Disney World with her. You kind of buttered her up a little bit. Be like, yo, Graham.
Well, she's got to die first. That's really what it comes down to. Here's my thought.
Well, let's
Here's my
knock
thought.
Her off.
Here's my thought of getting her money And something that I'm going to not like do something horrible, but when I get it, I mean, there's 5 minutes left, but when I get it, Dylan also said, clean the tub. So, you know, his tub is filthy.
Your tub is filthy.
I cleaned it. No. There's just one spot that's like under the knob that I can't get to.
You have black mold in your bathroom.
It's under the knob. I can't get to it in the shower.
You got to spray it, bro. You got to bleach that shit, man.
Yeah, but I don't have any bleach.
Buy it, dude.
Ugh, that sounds so terrible. I got a Kyra cleaner.
Hey, smoke a bowl and clean your bathroom, dude.
Is that what you
do? Just
do
it. Sometimes.
So my thought. I'm going to get off that because I get it. It's something that I should do, but I don't do. Clean the tub. So one thing, we got like 4 minutes left, but one thing that I think I'm about doing with my grandmother's money when I get it is buy a house on a lake upstate and then have that as like, I could do Airbnb, have people rent it out, and then when I'm retired, I just go live up in a lake.
Yeah, but not if you don't clean the bathroom, man. If you got black mold, nobody's paying anything.
If I buy a house and buy a lake, you're gonna come visit me?
Yeah, I'll come visit.
Oh, I have a question for you. Yeah. What is up with Mrs. Giggles going to like some stripper thing?
Okay, so here's the story with that. And I'll preface this with three words, all for charity.
Uh-huh.
So I went to this bridal fundraiser for multiple sclerosis. Excuse me, that's hard. I think that's why they just say MS.
Again.
Multiple sclerosis. Yeah.
You did good that time.
Thanks, buddy. I went to a fundraiser, and I was dressed nice, you know, as I've been doing lately. Mm-hmm. Dressed real, you know, suit, tie, the works.
Looking good.
And I go there, and, you know, I took the train in, so I didn't have to worry about driving. And I had a few drinks, and I was like, you know what? I was like, make them remember you. So I was like, let me and it was time for the auction, and I was like, I'm going to just start calling out some numbers, you know? And so, like, they were
so
big,
were like, I'm going to be a big man, and I'm gonna bid on some of these auctions? Like, you have the money to do that?
Totally. Oh, I did not have the money. But, like I say, all for charity, all for a good cause. But, and I was helping them out, because, like, I knew, like, people weren't bidding. And I was like, all right, well, let me throw some numbers in here, and, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, bid them up a little bit. But the thing that happened is I was bidding them up, and then, like, I was the one that got the thing.
You got hosed.
Well, I got hosed, but so I spent like $350 that night on like auction items. I bought two things.
What'd you get?
I bought the firefighters release party, two VIP tickets to the calendar release party,
which is like a bunch of hot jack dudes with their shirts off, and you sent your wife there.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
No, that's good.
Listen,
that's good.
Go for it. She took a friend with hers. They had a blast.
That's good. That is pretty.
And I was like, cool. And so then the second thing I bought was like a wine tasting with a sommelier for like eight of your friends.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's the other thing that I'm going to do. And we're going to have like a dinner and like some wine. And I think that's kind of nice. But I think the moral of the story is don't drink and do auctions.
An auction.
Because, like,
you should have started. We got like a minute left on the show. You should have started with this. This is really good. We could have went into auction stuff. All the way down. I'd love to go to an auction, and I'd love to go to your wine tasting. You have eight friends. I'd love
to
go.
You,
I'm going to come down.
You should come out.
I'm going to come down to Colorado, go to a wine tasting with you. Be really romantic. All right.
I've heard you're going to come to Colorado so many times.
I'm going to come. I'm going to come. I told you I want to come in October.
Yeah, come out. Don't come out the first weekend in October. But,
why not?
Come out the second or third, because I'm going to be gone.
All right.
My cousin-in-law's wedding or something.
Where is it?
Hershey.
No, you're
Hershey,
not that
PA.
Far. Maybe I'll come down to Hershey. You
come,
know what you should do?
Us.
You should go. You should. I'll come pick you up. We come back through the show. You leave Monday.
I've already got tickets with the whole family. I can't do
you
that.
Make me so mad. All right, we got 20 seconds left. It was a good show. It was a good show.
Good show. Solid. What's the Jean-Claude Van Damme Johnson?
Jean-Claude Van Amazon? Johnson. Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Go watch that and rate that up, because I want that to be a show where I can see my friend every week or whatever it is.
Nice. And September 10th is the Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah. Go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/